As we remain standing, let us pray. God of power, may the boldness of your spirit transform us. May the gentleness of your spirit lead us. And may the gifts of your spirit be our goal and our strength, now and always. Amen. Please be seated. I told you those two kind of bad jokes as kind of a setup for my intro here. So a country preacher, would have to be a country preacher, of course, decided to skip church one Sunday to spend the time hiking in the wilderness of British Columbia. And as this person is coming around a sharp bend in the road, in the trail, they collide with a mother bear and her cubs. And the preacher is sent tumbling onto a very steep grade, and the preacher breaks both of his legs. The angry mom bear begins to charge from a distance, and the preacher, unable to do much, begins to pray, "Oh Lord, I am so sorry for skipping services this morning. Please forgive me and grant me one wish. Make a Christian out of that bear that is coming at me today." It's not even a punchline yet. We're coming here. At that very instant, the bear skidded to a halt, fell to its knees, put its claws together, and began to pray out loud, "Dear God, please bless this food I am about to receive and make me truly thankful." You should have seen what I was going to start with. I love this one. I find that very funny. Okay, so that was not a flop, Jim. Okay. So we are celebrating the season of Thanksgiving at a time when we give thanks to God for everything we have been given. We give thanks for our needs, and we especially give thanks for the gift of the harvest, whether it is from the land or the sea. And giving thanks to God in our tradition dates back to the Old Testament times. And in the reading from Deuteronomy, Moses is commanding the Israelites to give thanks to God for delivering them from slavery in Egypt. And how were they going to do that? They would give thanks to God by giving God the first fruits of the harvest. And this whole concept of first fruits is rooted in biblical times where people lived in an agrarian society. And it was a significant time because that was when the hard work that the farmers had poured into their crops all year began to pay off. They were literally reaping what they sowed. And God calls his people to bring that first yield, the first fruits from their harvest to him as an offering. So it's not surprising that we hear in the New Testament, what is Jesus called? First fruits, right? The best that there is. It was a way to demonstrate their obedience and reverence for their God. And it also showed that they trusted God to provide enough crops to feed their families. And back then, there were plenty of rules associated with making these first fruit sacrifices. They had to be brought to the temple priest, and we read that in Deuteronomy. The priest says something, and there's a response. No other crops could be harvested until after the first fruits were presented. It was a complex process. And the passage also deals with the concept of stewardship, the S word. That when it said everybody puts their hand in their wallet, on their wallet. Specifically, it relates to offering God the first fruits of our labor as an act of worship, thanksgiving, and dedication of ourselves and our possessions to God. By doing this, here's another one of our commitments, we commit ourselves to living in and out of God's providence. And we, like the Israelites, are reminded again and again and again and again how God has rescued us in the past, in the present, and in the future. And Marjorie, I was thinking about you, just, you know, that you have seen in your life, and Eddie, the same thing, God coming in again and again, you are being rescued. Again and again, you are being provided for. We are, these remembrances strengthen our faith and give us courage to endure in difficult times. We are created to be close to God, and rejoicing in that closeness is a great and powerful way to draw and stay beside the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as revealed in the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. God's gift to each of us is our potential. Our gift to God is what we do with that potential. The chief thing you and I can do to be disloyal to God is to make small what he intended to be large, you and I. To glorify God is to fulfill the expectations of the God who created us. And to do so consciously expresses our gratitude. And pausing to express gratitude for everything gives our soul zoe, life, especially in times of trial and hardship. And to be full of thanksgiving and gratitude gives us the ability to experience life as a gift. And for anyone here or those that you know that are going through medical problems, they really begin to see that life is a gift. It is an absolute gift. It liberates us from the prison of self-preoccupation. We give thanks for the talents and abilities by accepting them as obligations to be invested in the common good. You and I don't have gifts for us. We have gifts for the other, and we use them to enrich the lives of others. And in the process, by the way, we are also enriched. In other words, we are to use them to do God's work in the world, and then thanking God for all the people, for all the people that have done for us. We are blessed to be a blessing, and for no other reason. We rejoice and give thanks in that which is guaranteed, God. We give thanks for that which can never be taken away, because God never fades. And even, and I've been through myself, and I know you people have too, even when you don't feel a sense of God's presence, God's still there. To be in right relationship with God, we need to cultivate and grow an attitude of gratitude. Our gratitude, it's not about desired outcomes, for that would mean we didn't trust in God's greater plan and purpose. Having an attitude of gratitude for Christians is joy. Big, wide, expansive, uncontainable joy. Uncontainable joy. What would that look like if we all left here today? Uncontainable joy. Nothing? I get nothing from you? Nothing? We'd look like a parade. Uncontainable joy. I'm not talking about happiness here. I'm talking about joy, as Paul expressed in Philippians, the joy of being alive on Sunday morning in this place together. Our prayers are another way of expressing thanks to our God who loves us, who provides for our needs both here, now, and in eternity. Because here's the other kicker here. We have been given the gift of eternal life. And to enjoy it, we need to feed on the word, which is the bread of life referred to in John's gospel. And when Jesus made that statement, he was identifying himself completely with God. And this bread of life is offered along with spiritual water to drink as we come to him in faith with prayer. And Jesus, the bread of life, takes place after the feeding of the 5,000. The people wanted more of the free physical food Jesus offered, but did they want the spiritual food? Like our ancestors, we come to Jesus asking for bread. And Jesus invites us to take part in his feast for the soul. And we are urged to eat until we are full. Only then can our deepest hunger be satisfied. Our life as disciples of Christ is to get spiritual nourishment and eternal life by listening, reflecting, and obeying the word. And keep eternal life in front of us. Keeping eternal life in front of us and eating the bread of life doesn't make us lazy or shoddy or gloomy. It brings us joy and peace, knowing we can trust and know God and treasure him. And there is a very real connection between thanksgiving and joy. And Paul, near the end of his letter to the church at Philippi, picks up on this connection. He links our thanksgiving to God with joy and peace. What does he say here? Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and then God's peace will be with you. I don't know about you, but I don't like it when my peace is gone. Does anybody like that? And you have to work on that every day. I was just having a conversation with Tony here. That faith isn't a one-off. You got to feed it. You got to feed it. Paul knew what he was talking about. Not only was he an apostle writing with apostolic authority and by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but he wrote these very words while he was suffering in a Roman prison and facing the possibility of execution. And he didn't write these things as one who knew them only in theory, but as one who knew them by experience. And he didn't write these words as nice kind of self-help advice. He's not giving platitudes on how to stay positive and think happy thoughts. He is not writing a New York bestseller called Transformed by Thankfulness, How I Stayed Positive in Prison. And this is not about being a better you. He is proclaiming to those who are in Christ. He is saying that for all of those, the saints, that is all those who are in Christ, God has promised that if we bring these requests to him with thanksgiving and supplication, he will honor them. And that is far greater than a positive attitude, because God will provide us with peace, which surpasses all understanding. And so on this Thanksgiving Sunday, what are you thankful for? Let us respond to the great things God has done, and let us commit ourselves to be people who show our gratitude to God more frequently. Let us give thanks, praise to God for his marvelous deeds, that we have been rescued and set free. And we have a future, and we have a hope. And let us look specifically at what the Lord has done for us. And then let us talk specifically about how great the Lord has been and continues to be. And may we express our thanks in joyful singing, joyful service to our neighbors, our brothers, and our sisters, joyful gratitude for this, our island home, and joyful saying of thanks, blessing his holy name with all that is within us. For this, you can, if you know this, say it with me. For this is the day the Lord has made. I will be glad and rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad. Let's try that one again. For this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Let us pray. May God, who clothes the lilies and feeds the birds of the sky, who leads the lambs to pasture and the deer to water, who multiplied the loaves and the fishes and changed water into wine. Lead us, feed us, multiply us, and transform us to reflect the glory of our Creator through all eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.